first reading today comes from John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Second reading is from Revelation, chapter 21, verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Shirley. Well navigated through the two readings. So last week, Martin talked to us about the first of the I am sayings. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And he talked about daily provision and the sufficiency of God in our lives. And this week, we're looking at another one of those sayings, "I am the light of the world." Can we? Perfect. So we're looking at this reading, John 8, verse 12. Now, when we were given these readings, we were given one verse, which was the I am saying, and told to pick whatever seemed to suit and fit with it. Well, I thought, oh good, I'm the light of the world, that's an easy one. And then you look at it, and the bit before it sort of is about people judging a woman, and the bit before that is people judging Jesus. And the bit after that is them talking about Jesus needing a witness, because you can't have just one person witnessing to the truth. So there wasn't really anything. Jesus just said this, and then there's nothing tying it in. I thought, oh, that's all right. That's okay. There's plenty of stuff in the Bible about light. And indeed there is. There are 433 mentions of light. And none of them are incidental mentions of light. No one goes, oh, it was a bit light this morning. There's none of those sorts of readings. They're all connected with God. There's 305 mentions in the Old Testament of light pointing to God. And then there's 128 in the New Testament. That's a lot of readings about light. Obviously, it's important. And Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." So this comes once again after someone had said he was a prophet. Others had said he was the expected Christ for what he'd been doing and what he'd been saying. But the chief priests and the Pharisees, they were not happy, and they wanted once again to arrest him. And you'd think, okay, let's calm it down here. Like I said when we did the I am reading. But Jesus was in no mood at all to appease them, to calm them down, to find common ground. Instead, he launched in by saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is it a bit like this?
I know what breakfast is all about. It's ready break, there ain't no doubt. I get my spoon round that yummy stuff. Without it, mornings would be kinda tough. And so it would seem, as a rule, it's ready break that makes me really cool. Get up and glow with ready break.
Is that how we see Jesus? A slightly glowy person? And he had his ready break and he was 80s cool. That's definitely not cool nowadays, but that was 80s cool. We knew it. We knew that was cool. Is he talking about just glowing slightly, I am the light of the world? No, 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 not at all. And the chief priests and the Pharisees would have known what he was saying. That's why they went on and talked to him about being a witness to the world. You see, throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, the imagery of light was linked with the presence and holiness of God. Right from the beginning in Genesis, we hear talk of God creating light, God separating light from darkness. We hear about Moses and the burning bush. We hear about God leading his people with a pillar of light. We hear about the times when light was provided. We hear throughout the Psalms the wonderful praising of light and being guidance and being comfort. And then in the prophecies of Isaiah, we hear about the future coming of the light of the world. The Pharisees would have known what he was saying. They would have been saying that he was claiming to be God, to have the holiness of God. And in case there was any doubt about this, he goes on to say, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the only one who could give life was God. He breathed life into the world. He breathed life into the first Adam. And, right, so we've talked sometimes about how difficult it is to say that God is like. Because nothing is like God. It's something that tortures very clever academics. And I'm not a very clever academic, I can tell you that. But that is one of the key characteristics of God. Nothing is like him. So I'm going to give you some examples, but I want you to bear in mind that these are just examples that try and describe a bit of the character of God. They're not perfect. There is always some limitation. There is always some inadequacy. I'm going to talk a little about the characteristics of our sun, our literal light of the world. So our sun is unique in our solar system, as it's the only body that makes light. Any light that's in the solar system generally comes from the sun. It's generated from the sun. And there are two key traits of the sun that echo what Jesus just said. It allows us to see and it brings us life. So firstly, it lights things up. It brings definition. It allows us to see. It allows us to see friends and enemies. It allows us to see good things and danger. It locates where we are. It helps us to see things in perspective, to move with confidence, to find our way in the world, to enjoy beauty in both creation and in people. And in its absence, there is darkness. Now, I want to tell you a story about darkness. When we first moved to Winchester, probably nearly over 20 years ago, I was keen to try and get fit. We lived closer into London. It was awful. And I decided I was going to learn to cycle more again to get fit. I could ride a bike, but I didn't do much cycling. So one day I said to Judith, I'd been out a few times scouting the roads. I said, I'm going out for a ride. She said, well, it's going dark. I said, it's all right. I've got my lights. So I had my little lights on my bike. And this was before sat-navs on phones. This was, and because I didn't have a sat-nav on my phone, I didn't take my phone with me either. Why would you? So I'm riding along these roads that I thought I knew so well, following my tiny little light. And I said to Judith, I'll only be, what, an hour and a half. So I set off. Well, I kept riding and I kept riding and it didn't look familiar. And in the end, I'd ridden about an hour and a quarter, and I thought, I have no idea where I am. What do I do? I can't go forward because I don't know where forward is. I can't call anyone to work out where I am. I've got no means of orientating myself. So remembering what my dear dad said, he said, if you get lost, turn around and retrace your footsteps. So that's exactly what I did. So I rode another hour and a quarter back, following the same route that I'd ridden. I didn't have enough fuel, I didn't have enough drink, I was really well ill-prepared, and I cycled back. And it was the next day that I realised that I was about 10 minutes from home. I'd been about 10 minutes from home, but I had no cues. I couldn't work out where I was. When I rode it the next day in daylight, it was fine. I knew where I was. It was okay, but I had nothing to reference. Darkness is debilitating. So as part of the sun shining, it also removes darkness. It's hard to move forward in darkness, as that story tells you. There may be shadows, but where there is light, it pushes away that darkness. We're able to see. And light also exposes flaws and imperfections. In daylight, we see things more clearly. We see where we thought our garden might have been tidy, it may not be quite so tidy in daylight. Where we think the car might have not been too dirty, we suddenly realise how filthy our car is and we need to wash it. So it shows us, it allows us to see. Secondly, it allows us to live. We need the sun to live. Directly and indirectly, we need the sun to survive. Its constant presence allows us to have the things we need. Because of it, we can grow food. Because of it, water is not just ice. We can drink it. The air that we breathe is sustained by the sun. The winds that blow are brought by the sun. All of it is nurtured by the sun. It provides warmth and beauty in creation. It is the reason that we have things like coal and oil and gas and peat, because of its actions long ago, not just currently. Our lives would be very different. If it stopped shining, we would not be able to live. But it's also more than just mere mechanics. Its presence or its absence can affect our mood and our well-being. Ben was very happy when he got back from Marrakesh. He'd had plenty of sun. It was good. But also, when we get to those winter months, there's that thing called seasonal affective disorder. Prolonged ongoing darkness means we get low, emotionally and physically. But even when we can't see it at night, it is still shining. Unlike Jesus, the sun will not be everlasting, but it's nothing that we need to worry about in our lifetimes. It is our constant. And even when we can't see its light, it is still shining. It is still sustaining life on this earth. And sometimes when it's dark, we can still see evidence of its effect for us and on us. The most obvious is the moon. The moon cannot produce its own light. The only light from the moon is the light from the sun reflected onto us. When the light shines on the moon, it is simply beautiful. I love it. But the moon itself is not beautiful. It is grey. It is dusty. It has craters and crevices. But when it reflects the light of the sun, it is beautiful because of its flaws, its dust. It gives you a picture. But that's the obvious one. Sometimes we have places where it is much, much darker. In the Arctic Circle, there's a place called Tromsø, where the sun doesn't rise between November and January. 3 months of darkness. But they always know that the sun is coming. And for 3 months they wait. And for 3 months in the summer, that sun never sets. It is not an even, a daily pattern. But they know that the sun will rise and the sun sustains. But even in that deepest, deepest darkness, because of that deepest, deepest darkness, there is also a remarkable phenomenon called the Northern Lights. Now, this is something that Judith and I are desperate to see, but you can't guarantee it. You can't know when you will see Northern Lights. People have gone on trips. Hi, Adam. People have gone on trips hoping to see the Northern Lights, but you just don't know when it's going to show up. And it won't show up in a brightly lit place. It only shows up in those northern parts of the world because it's about the way the particles from the sun hit the gases in the Earth's atmosphere. That's the science lesson for you. It's like how fluorescent light tubes or neon lights work. Northern Lights can only occur when there's no other light, when it's so, so dark. A natural firework display that lights up the skies with beautiful colours. The sun making its presence felt even in the darkest times. It is rare and hard to capture, but so, so beautiful. Apparently, because I've never seen it and keen to do so. And through those things, because of the light and life on Earth, it is hard to deny the presence of the sun. We can see it. It is there all the time. To deny that the sun is there is to deny what we know. We can see it. We can see its effects. We can feel it. So when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," what is he saying? He is saying he is God's constant holiness. He is bringing light and life to our lives. So in another bit of John, we're told, "In the beginning was the Word." That's Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's with God in the beginning. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was there at the beginning of all things. He was the light and life of all things. He even made the sun and the moon. And then we move on to the Revelation reading. I think you can see why I was inspired by it. Because it says the city does not need a sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. The Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. What an amazing vision of the end. Nothing to fear. Actually, quite the opposite. The gates will never shut on the kingdom of heaven, because the glory of God and the light of the Lamb will be there. From the beginning to the end, Jesus is our constant source of holiness in the world. There is no other source of holiness. He is unique. And all those qualities from the sun that we talked about are true about him shining into our lives. He allows us to see clearly and brings true life. He allows us to locate where we are. He helps us to see things in perspective, to see what is truly good and bad, to move around with confidence, to find our way in the world, to enjoy its beauty in both creation and the people around us. He pushes away darkness. He allows us to understand God's love through his love for us. He constantly feeds and nurtures us, even when we can't see him. He is the sustainer of all life. He can lift our mood and make us feel spiritually well. Without him, we cannot truly live. And look, even when we feel apart from his holiness, even when we feel in the darkest places, Even when it appears that Jesus isn't around, he is still shining into our lives. His presence, his effects are still available to us. But then we come to our little favourite song, I am a city on a hill, I am a light in the darkness. And we're told, even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we shine? We don't feel very shiny sometimes. Sometimes we feel a bit battered and scarred. Well, I want to take you back to a couple of the other examples from earlier. Those who know how I do these talks will have seen it coming already. The moon and the northern lights. I think we are called to be more moon in this earth. I think we are called to shine for others. We don't make our own light. We may be battered or scarred from what life has thrown at us. We may feel unassuming, we may feel ordinary, we may feel grey, we may feel we've got nothing to offer. But like the moon, we just need to allow our lives to reflect God's life. And it can transform us and other people. We become beautiful. We become beautiful not because of who we are, because we reflect God's holiness in the world. And like the moon, because of our scars, because of our blemishes, because of what we've been through in our lives, we become all the more beautiful because of God's light. But sometimes we may be walking in the darkest places. We may feel we've got no light in the world. We may wonder where this holiness of God has gone to. And I want to point you then to the northern lights. That wherever we are, however lost we feel, however far away from God's light we may feel, he's still shining. And sometimes if we look carefully in those darkest places, we can still see traces of his beauty and his glory. Little secondhand signs that he is there and he loves us and he loves those around us. So this week, do you need to turn your face to God just to bask in the light of his holiness, to warm your soul? If that's the place you're in, brilliant. Enjoy it. Or do you need to be more moon? Do you need to reflect God's glory, not worrying about our imperfections, but allowing God to use those to shine to other people? Or do you need to experience a bit of that northern lights? Do you need to see those glimpses in those dark places that you may be walking in? Do you need those signs that say, I'm still here, I'm always present, and I love you wherever you are? And like that place in Tromso, we have that certainty that even if it's not now, that in the future we will be in God's glory. We will stand in that presence. We will be in that city where the doors never shut. And we will be in that place with him. What joy, what hope. Let's pray. Father God, you know each of our situations. You know where we are in our lives. And you love and you care for each one of us. You don't care about our imperfections. You don't care about our flaws. You love us as we are. And you want to make us beautiful and shine on us, that we might be a light to those around us. And Lord, if we're struggling, if we're in dark places, Lord, let your light shine on us. Give us that hope for the future. Give us that certainty that one day all will be good, all will be well. In your name we pray. Amen.